This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Catherine Sherald, our militant grammarian. Welcome back.
Thank you. Kyle, when and where you were trained in journalism will determine whether this story of mine makes sense. Where did you get your journalism training? Right here.
Right here.
How was the newspaper put out? What was the printing process at that time? Did y'all didn't interact with the printers, did you?
Oh, if you were an editor, you did.
You did?
Because for a little while, I was sports editor, and you would lay out and get the stories in the wax and put them up, and it was right in the print shop back then in Kemple Hall. Well, we called it the Communication Center at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we interacted with the printers a lot.
Well, I'm a little older than you.
Okay. We didn't typeset, though.
We did.
And really?
Yeah. I worked in a hot metal shop.
Typesetting? Are you going to explain for folks?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. At Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, I spent 4 years in a letterpress print shop. I was on the newspaper staff beginning my freshman year, and the Herald was produced by letterpress, which is hot metal typesetting. A hot metal back shop was an interesting and dangerous place back then, with large vats of hot molten lead just boiling up. I mean, it's like, you know, from one of these Shakespearean play kind of things, from which the newspaper type was molded on the linotype machine. So usually burly men would sit at the linotype machines, and they would type just like anybody would. But the molten lead would flow through the machine and be cast into the letters that they typed.
You had to be at the end of this
era.
Oh,
I was.
Okay,
I was.
Yeah.
But now when I, I'm pretty sure that a short time that I had with the Memphis Commercial Appeal right after, they were still hot type.
Huh.
In fact, one of the editors told me to avoid words like shirt because all these body guys in the back shop would leave out the R.
Mm-hmm. Well, and linotype, far less forgiving than what's come after.
Oh, sure.
You make
sure
a mistake, and it's kind of,
yeah,
there it is.
It's right there in lead.
That's right. That's right.
Whereas the linotype machines set the type, the headlines were usually hand-set.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would hold what is called a stick, and you would pick the letters out of a case, a type case.
And when she says letters, folks, she means actual physical letters.
Lead letters,
right.
Metal letters. And so you had to, you know, this is relief printing, right? So it's smashed. It makes an impression on the paper. So what is in the type has to be upside down and backwards.
Upside down
so
and backwards.
So you had to learn to read upside down and backwards. Good training for a reporter.
Yes, because you might see that document on somebody's
That's
desk.
That's exactly right. And so we learned to read the letters upside down and backwards. And you may have noticed in your computer font selections a font style known as dingbats.
That comes from this era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are dingbats?
Dingbats are these little things that kind of fill space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a variety of symbols, like,
right,
you know, yeah.
Hashtag.
Or,
what now is popular.
Hashtag, right?
Hashtag, right.
Curly cues just for decoration, all kinds of stuff like that. And letterpress fonts were kept in typecases that were big drawers with many separate little compartments to divide the different letters. It was hard enough to tell a capital X from lowercase x, but telling dingbats apart?
Oh, yeah.
Well, one day I dropped a case of dingbats.
And you had to resort them?
I did. Took me 3 days.
I bet.
But even so, I love the days in the print shop, and when I come across a reference to a book, when I came across a reference to a book entitled Printer's Error, Irreverent Stories from Book History. Of course, the printing presses were first used for books, right?
Sure,
not newspapers.
Sure.
By Rebecca and J.P. Romney, I had to pass along these everyday phrases that come from the printing industry.
Okay.
All right. What does out of sorts mean?
You're not quite feeling right.
Right.
You know, you wake up and you're just nothing's
grumpy,
not quite going right.
Right. It's entirely appropriate because it comes from a printer running out of type.
Huh.
A sort is an individually cast piece of type.
Uh-huh.
Purchasing type was expensive, so to save on costs, many printers would only keep enough on hand to get the job done. Sometimes this meant running out of type in the middle of a job, making you out of sorts.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, I bet you know this one. Mind your P's and Q's.
Well, you know, yeah, it kind of has this idea that you stick to your own business. You know, don't go sticking your nose in somebody else's affairs.
Interestingly enough, that's the British meaning of that.
Oh, okay.
The English meaning is paying close attention. Mind your P's and Q's.
Oh. I always think, so it's kind of like...
Behave yourself, yeah.
But more cross your T's and dot your I's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in English it is.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And setting type means placing each individual letter in backwards so that when the ink type is pressed on the paper, the mirror image reads the right way. This required a certain amount of focus from the workers who set the type, known as compositors, especially when it came to letters that looked like mirror images of each other. Your P's and Q's.
Oh, of course, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, think about looking at a P or a Q upside down and backwards.
They're
and telling right, the lowercase ones.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The lowercase P's and Q's were right next to each other in the case, just begging to be mixed
up. Of course, because they're next to each other in the alphabet.
That's why it's mind your P's and Q's, not mind your B's and D's, which, of course, have the same problem. Right.
Yeah. But they've got the C in between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not neighbors, yeah. Uppercase and lowercase. You know that one?
Yes, and I didn't know this until I went to a museum in Baltimore a couple of years ago. It's called, I think, the Museum of Technology and Innovation or something. But they have a linotype machine. Uh-huh. And the day I was there, there was a fellow who used to work at the Baltimore Sun when they had linotype. And he was explaining things. Uppercase, that's where the capital letters were kept, in the uppercase.
Uh-huh.
The small letters were kept in the lowercase.
Right.
And so they just got that name.
And the cases are tilted a little bit. So they're even upper, more upper now because they're tilted, Okay, hot off the press.
It just delivered, just happened.
Right. Why do you think it's called that?
Because it just came off the printing press.
Well, that's our reason for it. The paper coming off the press wasn't literally hot, nor did the press itself heat up. The saying came from the hot type cast on the linotype.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
And as the operator typed, the machine would cast the type out of molten lead. The machine got its name from the delighted reaction of the owner of the New York Tribune. You've done it. You've produced a line of type. A linotype.
It makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
I always thought it was
a brand name.
Yeah, some guy's name or something. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, see you in the funny papers. Yeah, Catherine Sherrills is our Middleton grammarian.